questions and comments, the Honourable Member for Guelph.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you to the Honourable Member from Edmonton Strathcona for her intervention. As we look forward towards a pathway that we can continue our discussions, I'm working with my constituents who are working on a paper to present for me to present to the Minister on specific electoral reform suggestions that they have. Also, I'm looking at presenting a petition in the House on their behalf, as members of Parliament do on a number of issues.
Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. And that voice there at the top belonged to Lloyd Longfield, Guelph's Member of Parliament, a man who right now is stuck between a rock and a hard place. His party just abandoned a campaign promise to reform the electoral system, a promise that many people in this community put a lot of faith and trust in. To Longfield's credit, he's walking that fine line with a lot of skill, and indeed it seems as if most people aren't focusing their anger at him, but rather at his boss, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. On this week's Guelph Politicast, I share some of the voices from two different rallies to protest the Liberals' broken electoral reform promise, one on a cold Sunday at City Hall, and another that gathered over 200 people on a pleasant Saturday afternoon in front of Longfield's Cork Street constituency office. The message was loud and clear. Mr. Trudeau, you promised that 2015 would be the last election with First Past the Post, and we want you to keep your promise. It was a message replicated at nearly 30 other rallies on the same day, at the same time, across the country. Although the message was clear, the speakers at the rally seemed to fall into one of three different categories, and that's how this podcast will be organized. There were those angry and upset that Trudeau broke his word on ER. There were those trying to conflate the political dynamics in the United States with the potential outcomes here in Canada in the future, and there were those looking for action. Yes, Trudeau says electoral reform is not now on the list of priorities he has set, but how can we change his mind? Let's start with the broken promises, and this week's Guelph Politicast begins with George Kelly, chair of the Guelph Wellington Coalition for Social Justice, reading a letter written by a third-year university student and a Trudeau supporter in the 2015 election.
But the letter that I want to share with you, it's not very long, but it's very important because it comes from a third-year university student, a political science student, who was feeling very betrayed by the decision by Justin last week. And here's what she said. In the 2015 federal election, I voted for the Liberal Party and for their leader, Justin Trudeau. I voted for a leader I believed was different. I voted against negative politics and against politicians who put themselves and their parties at a higher priority than the public good. I voted for a leader who promised that the 2015 election would be the last under First Past the Post, and a leader I honestly believe would put the health of our democracy first when working to keep that promise. This is a very articulate student, and I'm very impressed with her. Today, I feel silly for thinking that a party which benefits so greatly from our flawed electoral system would put aside its own selfishness in order to keep that promise. Today, I'm feeling embarrassed for believing in that party as wholeheartedly as I did. Today, I am feeling betrayed. So that's our responsibility to keep in touch with the Liberals. Don't leave them on the sidelines. Last Wednesday, the Trudeau government announced it was abandoning electoral reform. One could only hope that at the very least, that extreme disappointment would be met with sound justification. Instead, the only explanation given was that there was no consensus on electoral reform. Do you buy that?
No!
I don't either. I am confused by this explanation. Mr. Prime Minister, I understand there was a certain degree of consensus when the Electoral Reform Committee proposed a referendum on the system of proportional representation. And I met Elizabeth May in Charlottetown in September and let her know what our coalition, how strongly we stood with them on proportional representation. And we let Lloyd know as well on December the 20th at a meeting we had with him, but he wasn't quite ready for this group at that time. So do you mean to say that there's no consensus amongst the public? I should think that discerning whether or not there is a consensus amongst the public is rather difficult when a clear question is not put forward. Do we expect to find consensus among the responses of approximately 2% of the Canadian population from a survey, which at no point asked Canadians direct questions about whether or not they supported electoral reform or whether or not they would care to have a referendum on the topic? You may recall that was only a few months ago. When trying to justify your excuses, do not put the blame on the public, Mr. Trudeau. Electoral reform is a complicated topic. It's true. Engaging the public on this issue is very difficult because people feel confused about the many options and the possible implication of these options. That is why it is your job to use all the tools, resources, and experts at your disposal to research these options and present the best ones, and not only listen to the local people, but do your homework yourself, is what she's saying.
Hear, hear.
Not the best ones for your party, but the best ones for our democracy. We expect our government to govern, Mr. Trudeau, and we trust you to do so honestly. That is why I, and many other Canadians along with me, voted for you. Possibly the saddest outcome of this disappointment will be the political disengagement this country will suffer as a result. We already have had such a dismal voter turnout, and going back on election promises does nothing to help that. Saying whatever it takes to get elected and then going back on those words once in power is one of the most despicable acts of political dishonesty and only leads to a great distrust of our elected officials. It's one of the many reasons people feel that their votes don't matter, and it is something that government should be trying to avoid at all costs, and we hope Lloyd hears that. We need to work towards a democracy where people are excited to get out and vote because they feel like they have a say. A democracy where people feel they can trust their representatives. No one should ever be made to feel embarrassed or ashamed for wholeheartedly believing in the promises made by the party they voted for. I can assure you, Mr. Prime Minister, it is an ugly emotion. I don't want to lose the trust and optimism I had when I walked into that voting booth on October the 19th, 2015. I will try my best to hold on to it because as a 21-year-old, I have many years ahead in my life as a politically engaged citizen, but the sense of betrayal and cynicism I am enduring is awfully hard to swallow. Fool me once, Mr. Trudeau, but you had better not fool me again. Thank you very much.
Next, Susan Watson talked at the City Hall rally about the origins of the push for electoral reform and how Trudeau's broken promise made her personally feel culpable.
I'd just like to start by... refocusing us on what electoral reform is really about. We're not just a bunch of math nerds who are focusing on complex ways to count ballots. The reason that we want electoral reform is because it results in more representation from women. It results in more representation from minorities. It results in more civil discourse. It means that every vote counts, that your vote isn't wasted because you didn't happen to vote for the winning first-past-the-post candidate in your riding. I think we need to keep that focus. Greater voter turnout. People feel that it actually matters, that they can make a difference. And so there's often an uptick when ER is introduced, for proportional representation of more participation. I found it really ironic in the mandate letter to Carina Gould that Justin Trudeau is asking her to have the Canadian security establishment look into ways to make our electoral system more secure. I know there's a number of people here in the crowd today who got that fake Elections Canada call. Maybe you want to put your hands up. That whole crime has never been solved. Elections Canada was not able to solve it, nor did they involve the RCMP in doing that. And that whole crime was about manipulating small vote margins in targeted ridings. And so from my perspective, because our law enforcement and election enforcement agencies were not able to protect us from that or solve that crime, proportional representation would be a way of building more resilience and protections into our electoral system for that kind of fraudulent manipulation. Because maybe while someone might pull something off in a given riding, the overall proportions nationally would protect us from that kind of manipulation. I want to say something about consensus. Didn't jump out at me from the history books that there was consensus about introducing the vote for women. Didn't jump out at me that there was consensus about introducing the vote for First Nations or in the States for Black people. Sometimes it's about moving forward on what is fair and what is just. It's also my reflection that I think the Liberals made a pretty cynical calculation that most people didn't really care about this issue and in a couple of years people would just forget about it. But I think that they've really made a serious mistake in terms of who has been hurt and most deeply wounded by this decision. Stats show that less than 1% of Canadians claim political tax donations on their tax return. There's a very small percentage of people who donate. There's a small percentage of people who get out there and knock on the doors and pound in the signs and stuff the envelopes. And you're all standing here today. So the people who I think have been most hurt by this decision are the ones who have been most engaged and then who are the influencers of other people. So again, given these very small margins that decide our elections, I think this was a really dumb decision on Justin Trudeau's part. And I will also make a public statement that I engaged in the Leave Now, Vote Together initiative. And I said to many people who might otherwise have voted Green or NDP, we have to get rid of Stephen Harper. Please vote strategically. This is going to be the last time the Liberals are going to bring in proportional representation. This is the last time that you have to vote strategically. And now I feel that I participated in a deception. And so I publicly apologize to those people who I persuaded to do that. And I will not make that mistake again.
And next, also from the City Hall rally, is Lori Garbutt, who lays out the situation as only a teacher can.
Now we're here to discuss and protest the abandonment of a promise made not once, not a few times, 1,813 times this promise was made. It was a promise of fair representation, electoral reform, the end of first past the post, time for renewal of our democratic process, one so needed as provinces and municipalities look to the federal government for restructuring models. And what are we told? There is no clear path forward. I would argue that that is absolutely false. We are told that there is no consensus. The consensus being referred to was on a piece of paper sent around called My Democracy that failed to ask respondents the key question, are you in favor of electoral reform? So I really don't know what the value of that exercise was. We need to look at this through three lenses. The first is as a political being. Whether you're a politician, a pundit, an armchair critic, or a new voter, just as a concerned citizen, you've been promised something 1,813 times. It was flaunted as the signal of real change, even though it was lifted from the NDP playbook. What it was, according to quoting Thomas Mulcair, it was a massive political deception. I would also call it a massive political betrayal. The second lens we should look at this through is as a parent or a teacher or an elder or a mentor in your community. We teach our children the value of honesty and integrity. Look at what our Prime Minister is modeling for them. We teach them the value of their word, the importance of conviction, and their newly elected prime minister shows them that all you really need to do is to tell people what they want to hear over and over and over again, and then you get what you want. That is the lesson being taught to our youth right now. We are teaching them that it is okay to promise a better way of government and then rescind that promise and keep the status quo because it works in your favor. The third lens is as a person who wants to learn from lessons in our past. Crossing partisan lines, speaking to all stripes of the political fabric. I have a quote for you from John Diefenbaker. I'm a Canadian, free to speak without fear, free to worship in my own way, free to stand for what I think is right, free to oppose what I believe wrong, or free to choose those who shall govern my country. This heritage of freedom I pledge to uphold for myself and all of mankind. I challenge you to justify how 38% of the vote receives 100% of the power. That goes totally against that quote. And the last thing I want to leave you with is actually from Thomas Jefferson, and it's been a quote that's been really driving me in the last little while. It says, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Thank you.
And that seems like a good segue to talk more about the recent U.S. President, Donald J. Trump. Trump is on top of mind no matter the political issue lately, but for the advocates of electoral reform, they see the election of Trump as a potent reason why first past the post can no longer be the status quo for electing our leaders. Stephen Dick, one of the leaders of the local electoral reform push, certainly had no problem using Trump to sell reform on postcards made up for people to send to the prime minister.
Just really move forward. We've got a great group. And so there you go. And there's my favorite one right there. Trump loves first past the post, right? It's pretty clear. You know, a little bit funny. And then right below there it says, it's going to be huge. You know, this is huge. Huge, you know, this is Trump, right? It's gonna be great, says Mr. Trump as he takes over Canada. So let's not let that happen. And thanks so much for coming out.
Back at the City Hall rally, Ward 2 Councillor James Gordon also shared his comparisons and concerns about a Trump-like figure rising in Canada and suggested that Canadians have been gotten too cozy lately with complacency.
Looking out at you all here today, we've all been through a lot lately, and it seems to me, in observing the big picture of what's happening right now, that we've become pretty smug here in Canada since the American election. We look at our neighbors to the south and we say, how could they have voted for someone that has made lying the new normal? And now we're not so smug. It turns out that we have elected a prime minister who thinks it's okay to break a promise. Many of us consider that he is lying to us. Lying is not okay. Lying cannot be the new normal. But there's one thing worse than telling a lie to me, and that is accepting a lie. So we do not want to make that cynical style of leadership the new normal here. It is clear from statements that Mr. Trudeau has made that he feels that we love him so much that we don't need electoral reform. We have our Sun King now, so everything is fine. Everything is not fine. We expect more and we demand more. Having worked with the PR movement for some time now, I know that this decision has disappointed as many Liberals as it has New Democrats and Greens. I never can quite figure out the Conservatives around this. It crosses party lines, so we need now to have a nonpartisan citizen movement, and I can see it growing already, that demands what clearly is the will of this nation. Mr. Trudeau, as we know, promised that the 2015 election would be the last under the first past the post system. Now, and as a politician, I can say that I can understand how someone gets elected and then that they feel that what elected them, that system all of a sudden feels fine. But it's not fine. If you go look, there is less incentive to change that system once you got elected through it. We have to provide that incentive, and that incentive is to say that we will not be fooled again next election. We have to demonstrate that our voices and our sheer numbers, that this is not acceptable. We have to tell Lloyd Longfield, who must be very torn about this, so I can feel some empathy for him, We cannot accept this decision and ask that he advocate for us in this. As a politician, I can also say that events like this and your letters, your calls, your emails, your advocacy does make a difference. It is time to change the system. The system isn't broken. It was made that way to keep down alternative voices. I don't believe that we are an alternative voice in this case. We are the majority on this important issue, and we have to keep reminding our leaders that this is so, that we won't accept this arrogant, elitist decision. I look forward to working with you all to make sure our message stays strong, stays consistent, stays persuasive. We are restless for the change we need. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen with your participation. So let's get to work. Thank you.
Back to the Saturday rally, Vera Dick took things a little further by drawing connections between the present electoral system, Donald Trump, and hate speech and marginalization against minority groups. Reform, in other words, is a pathway to more inclusivity. Just be aware that there were some technical difficulties with the microphone during this portion.
My name is Vera, and I'm a trauma therapist, a family therapist. When scapegoating is happening, the targeting of the vulnerable because it serves someone in power, I feel it in my body. I feel the pain of it. And when people praying in a mosque in Quebec City were violently attacked and killed 2 weeks ago, on some level I was paralyzed. I was too scared to cry and I felt like I couldn't breathe. And when I got to the mosque that evening and hugged some of my Muslim friends for a long time and saw other friends there, made contact, shook hands, saw tears and smiles and connected, I could start to breathe again. The US and Britain are the only modern industrial nations in the world besides Canada who continue to use a first-past-the-post system. We have seen the horrific scapegoating of Muslims, refugees, and immigrants that was used by candidates under first-past-the-post systems in the US and Britain to win recent elections there, and we see the leadership this has brought. Let's not deceive ourselves into thinking it can't happen here, that Canadians are somehow inherently above that, or that Justin Trudeau's fine words against this are enough. The recent Walmart incident in Guelph, the attack on the mosque in Quebec, hate mail and graffiti against Guelph mosques, the Twittered rebuke against our mayor for standing in solidarity with Muslims 2 weeks ago, and the way the Harper campaign made an election issue out of the niqab. Like in the US, scapegoating and bigotry is here in Canada to be stirred up. We can blame certain parties, we can call Trump all kinds of names, but it's important that we look honestly at the system that gives rise to this kind of scapegoating and how. When small margins make or break a 100% power shift, some candidates will do whatever necessary to win, including scapegoating, capitalizing on fear, populist activation of intensely emotional wedge issues, sophisticated voter repression, analysis of internet data and manipulation to personally target you to vote or target you not to vote. Anything to get a small percentage of fearful people riled up enough to swing an election. The Liberal government wants us to believe that first past the post is stabilizing, but the opposite is true. Stability and good policy come from broad-based consensus developed over time with input from diverse views and voices, having everyone at the table. Polarized parties that swing between extremes is a function of first past the post. When you lose an election, you lose completely. You don't learn how to work things out with the people who won. You focus on how to overthrow them completely next time to then run roughshod over them. If we have an electoral system that rewards candidates and politicians who scapegoat, we will get more scapegoating. If we have an electoral system that rewards collaboration, listening, and bridge building, we will elect candidates who are good at that.
So now that we've framed the disappointment over the situation and the problems people have with the present electoral system, let's look to the future. But first, Mike Schreiner, leader of the Green Party of Ontario, has some thank yous he wanted people to hear.
I want to thank Shane and Nathan for organizing today's rally. And I want to thank all the young people across Canada who are organizing rallies in cities across the country. In many respects, it's your future that we're standing up for today. I also want to thank a group of citizens who are meeting right now to come up with solutions to how we can bring forward a PR system that meets the concerns that the Prime Minister has. And I think it's amazing that we're looking at a Made in Guelph solution to this issue. And while I'm very, very frustrated and angry with the Liberal Party right now, I also want to extend a thanks to Lloyd Longfield, who at least who's willing to listen and take the ideas that these citizens are bringing forward, and has said he will take those ideas to Ottawa. And so what I want to say to Lloyd today is, now more than ever, we need you to be Guelph's voice in Ottawa, not Ottawa's voice in Guelph. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all of you for being here today, because it's your voice, it's people power. That's the only thing that's going to turn the Prime Minister on this issue. And you being here today says a loud and clear message to Ottawa. You're saying no to broken promises.
No!
And you are saying yes to fair elections. I want to thank you for saying yes to making every vote count. I want to thank you for saying yes to more women and minorities and diverse voices in Parliament. I want to thank you for saying yes to a Parliament that reflects the democratic will of the Canadian people. And I want to thank you for saying no to false majorities where 39% of the vote can lead to 100% of the power. And I want to thank you for saying no to even opening up the possibility that an extreme voice could seize control of a political party in this country and get 100% of the power with less than 40% of the vote. That's what's at stake here with proportional representation. And so I want to close by putting out a challenge. And I'm probably the most identifiably partisan speaker you're going to have here today. And I just want to say it's time on this issue for us to set aside our parties, our partisan beliefs, and come together for the good of Canadian democracy. And I've had conversations with Liberals, and I've had numerous conversations with a number of NDP supporters and people who are independent. And I just met, I don't know where he went, yeah, I just met a young Conservative in the crowd who supports proportional representation. So I want people of all parties to create a multi-party coalition developing a Made in Guelph solution that we can take to Parliament and have this truly be 2015, the last election with first past the post, so we can leave a better democracy for the next seven generations. Thank you. Keep working hard on this, everyone.
Remember that young conservative, because we'll hear from him later. But first, David DeWert, who is one of the people preparing the Made in Guelph solution Schreiner mentioned, outlined what his group is working on.
I was invited to a meeting with Lloyd Longfield January 27th. And since then, for better or for worse, I've been at the center of a Guelph citizens movement to push for PR. I'm going to just tell you a bit about myself, because I'm going to stay with this fight until we win. I was a Liberal. From 1984 till 2008, I was a strong Liberal, even president of a youth wing at one point in time. But gradually, I began to lose faith in the party's commitment to our basic democracy. Now I'm a free agent as a voter, not a liberal anymore. In recent years, I've donated my time to working for issues related to strengthening our democracy. Democracy is the fertile ground upon which we do everything else important to ourselves, leaving all of us feeling safe and heard. So, who are we that are working on this issue for you in Guelph? We are the citizens of Guelph, and some of our group are dedicated partisans of the NDP, some liberal, one conservative, a couple of Greens. We are citizens and Canadians first. We are a group of people who want proportional representation, and we want it now. Our MP, Lloyd Longfeld, is listening to us. He spoke about our concerns this week in Parliament. This is very good. But Mr. Longfield has not yet stood up in Parliament to say that he wants proportional representation now. After a tough election, Mr. Longfield was elected as a representative of all the people of Guelph. As an MP, he has to speak for all of us. Now, after the Prime Minister has done a 180 turn on this issue, for him to do what we want him to do in Parliament, he needs a couple of things from us, and that's what I'm going to ask your help with. He needs a concrete, actionable proposal for proportional representation. He asked us for it. So we're working across party lines here locally to achieve that. We've also engaged people at a national level who are expert in this area, including the former head of Elections Canada, Mr. Kingsley, and a professor at the University of Guelph who testified at the Parliamentary Committee on Election Reform. The second thing he needs, and this is the really tough thing, he needs to show that a strong majority of the people of Guelph do want proportional representation. This means we need to organize and achieve thousands and thousands of signatures supporting the Guelph model for local proportional representation. In these times, we just need to look across the border into the United States. We have to be concerned about our government. Could it be held hostage by a fringe minority? Under our current system, this could happen. We have to say no to the politics of division. So Mr. Trump likes walls. Proportional representation is a wall. How is that? Proportional representation sets a higher bar for majority power. Under PR, to attain a majority in the House of Commons with the power to pass legislation without any effective opposition, a party must attain a true 50 plus 1% of the majority of the vote. That is fair and is as it should be. But that's not how it is, and that has to change. We want peace, order, and good government as Canadians. We always have. But in order to assure that in these troubled times, we need proportional representation. We're going to show the Prime Minister that our community supports this in a way that no one can dispute. So we need you for that. Also, in the way that we do this, we want to demonstrate the kind of leadership in our community that we want to see in Parliament. So we're going to cooperate across party lines. We're going to work together. And so far, so good. We have members of the four largest political parties working together on this for you. There's a groundswell here in Guelph from the people. We want proportional representation. Now let's show the Prime Minister that we really mean it.
In our last outtake from the rallies, Anne Gajerski-Colley, the former NDP candidate for Wellington Halton Hills, added some political context because while electoral reform might not happen tomorrow, the slings and arrows of history suggest that it might, in fact, be inevitable.
Great to see so many of you out. This year we are celebrating Canada's 150 years of Confederation. And if you remember in 1867, only about 10% of Canadians were actually eligible to vote. And the rules of eligibility differed across the country. But one thing was sure, you could only vote if you were a man and you owned property. In the 19th century, voting also had to be publicly declared, which lent itself to intimidation and to corruption. Electoral reform brought in the secret ballot. By 1918, after literally decades of lobbying, women were finally granted the franchise and the right to be a candidate. But in 1885, Sir John A. Macdonald made a promise to Canadians that women would get the right to vote. And guess what? He did exactly what Justin Trudeau just did. He reneged on his promise for major electoral change, and women would have to wait another 33 years. Maybe Justin Trudeau is more a copy of John A. Macdonald than his sunny ways man, Sir Wilfrid Laurier. Maybe someone should tell him this. There was a time in this country when election laws barred ethnic minorities, women, urban workers, and Indigenous peoples from participating in the democratic process. A farmer in Oxford County could vote, but not a factory worker in Toronto. There was a time when our ancestors recognized that things needed to be changed, and change happened. And we now, in an advanced democratic society, are still voting in the same system that we had 150 years ago. And it is time to renovate and join the modern world that Justin Trudeau dreads with all his heart. He dreads fairness in our electoral system because he and his party will not benefit from it.
And finally, I caught up with the aforementioned young conservative. His name's Brandon Hollingsworth. And I asked him about supporting electoral reform immediately after the end of the rally. Okay, so just confirm for the record, you are a voting conservative, I take
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm part of the Conservative Party of Canada and the Ontario PC Party.
Okay, great. You look young enough to be involved at the university, or?
I'm 16.
Oh, are you 16?
Yes.
Okay, so you haven't even had a chance to vote yet.
No.
What makes this an important issue for you?
Well, as a Canadian, I believe furthering our democracy is a big part of this country. We're built on many principles of democracy. We uphold it all around the world. Finding the best way to have our people be represented in Parliament is always a top priority. Using a system that is known to be flawed with the country more than two major political parties, such as First Past the Post, isn't effective anymore. We do need such systems such as preferential representation, as it accurately gives out the right percentage that each party wins in a country like this with more than two main political parties. And that's a main function of democracy, how people vote.
Right.
If we can do that in the best way possible, in the easiest way possible, that shows that our democracy is furthering, I'm all for it. I don't care if I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal, a socialist, a Nazi.
You might care if you're a Nazi.
Okay, yes. Yes, maybe a bit too far, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah.
Of course, this is not a popular opinion with members of your party. I mean, even the ones who are willing to entertain the notion are saying, let's have a referendum and see where the people are. So how do you circle that square?
Well, see, from a good viewpoint, if we want to win, we need to be on the side of the people.
Right.
If we're going to get a good leader in there, which we have our leadership election coming up, that person
I've heard about that. Yeah,
it's a couple months from now. The said person needs to support electoral reform. It's been a big debate for years. They've had referendums on this issue several times. I believe they've always voted in favor of preferential representation. And I'm seeing if we want to win over the Canadian people in 2019, we need to support electoral reform.
The party has had the referendums, you mean?
I think there's been a public one a couple of years.
Right.
I don't know when, though.
The one in 2007.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe it was defeated.
Was it?
Yeah, two-thirds. But I mean, I know where you're coming from, though. I mean, this is a voice. I mean, it's been 10 years since that referendum. This is clearly something that people want, and the voices do seem to be getting louder. Mm-hmm. Have you met many conservatives? I mean, you said you're a member of both the provincial and federal parties.
Yes.
So you travel in these circles.
Yes.
Is it a silent majority, a silent minority, or?
Well, it's more of if you want to get ratted out or not. There's a lot of, I can say, a good portion of us. Do you support electoral reform? I know I've met with several leadership candidates, Michael Chong, Maxime Bernier. They've all hinted at such things. Obviously, they're not going to say it out publicly. They don't have any supporters. But you can hint at it. You can just tell by looking at them like that. And we have even I don't know, even non-elected people who support it.
So there's, it almost sounds like you're saying there's kind of like a coded language within the party faithful, like, wink, wink, by the way, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's weird. But you said Ride It Out, and of course Ride It Out condones a sort of negative, well, I mean, of course took a negative image, but it just sounds like the consequence of being a conservative who says publicly I'm in favor of revamping the electoral system is akin to, you know, being in the mob and being an informant to the police.
Yes,
you know,
it
ends the same way with cement overshoes in the river.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be the only issue where people in our party support but stay silent. Gay rights, abortion, carbon tax. I know there's several candidates actually in the leadership election that do support it.
Right.
And they always hint at it, like, let's get a revenue neutral carbon tax. Michael Chong said that a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a, if I speak up on this topic, what's going to happen to my reputation? Am I dead? Am I never getting elected again?
Politically dead. Yeah. They wouldn't actually kill you.
Yeah,
or would
they?
Well,
I don't think they could really kill you. But
yeah.
Yeah. If it's people who want to keep their reputation close to where they are and they're afraid to speak out on things like these.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, what makes you want to speak out then?
Well, I'm young. I have quite a few different views on certain things. And I'm saying, if I were to run for office one day, not saying that I will.
We won't hold you to it.
This would be one, if many, of my views on it, is that furthering democracy is always a top priority. And if we can do it electoral reform, we can do it any other way, giving more people rights in certain things, nothing specific, then I'm all for it.
If you've been keeping count, that's 11 different speakers. So to make it an easy dozen, I'm going to add my own voice. For too many years now, I've heard people say that they don't vote because unless they vote for the winner, their vote doesn't matter. I've always thought that this was a defeatist attitude, and it plays into the same kind of winners and losers dichotomy that some of the demonstrators were talking about. If you're not a winner, then you're a loser. Except the person that wins the election still represents you. That's the job they were fighting to get, to represent every single person in their riding. I recall appearing on a radio show after the failed mixed-member proportional referendum in Ontario in 2007, one of the other panelists said that democracy doesn't work because the referendum failed. No, democracy works. Not getting what you want is not a failure of democracy, it's a failure of messaging. You are unable to convince a plurality of people that your opinion was the right one, and while there might have been 1,000 reasons why that was the case, I guarantee you that one of them wasn't that democracy doesn't work. Again, that suffers from the narrative of winners and losers. So here's where things are different this time. The people heard Justin Trudeau's declaration and promise that 2015 would be the last federal election decided by first past the post. And while that may not have been the number one priority for all those voters that cast ballots for Liberals, it was definitely a consideration. He could have stopped talking about it after the votes were counted. He could have put the idea in the box and said there were too many other things vying for the number one spot on the priorities list to worry about electoral reform right now. But Trudeau persisted. He even set a deadline of 16 months after the election to have a new system in place. This is like promising your kid you're going to take him to the ball game, buying the tickets, driving to the stadium, and then turning around and going home. Trudeau's forgotten that he represents all Canadians, not just Liberals, not just the people that voted for the Liberals, but all people. Why is this important? Because it wasn't just Liberal voters that wanted electoral reform. They were NDP, they were Greens, Conservatives, Communists, Libertarians, Independent. What is Trudeau's responsibility to them? Sometimes in life, you don't choose the moment, but the moment chooses you, and it seems as though electoral reform has found its moment, whether Trudeau likes it or not. Like the government, I don't know what form that proportional representation should take, but unlike the government, I'm willing to ask the question. I'm willing to do the research, take the time, and engage with others to create the best possible system to represent all the people of Canada. And while it's true that first past the post is simple to explain and enact, recent years have also proved that it's also easy to exploit. All a party has to do is put pressure on a couple of dozen ridings, and you can take Parliament and do whatever you want without having to consult anyone or anything. It seemed that Trudeau got the point when he created an electoral reform committee that was proportional. So what happened between then and now? Was it just too complicated? Too hard? Maybe he just smells opportunity with the two major opposition parties in apparent disarray. Whatever the reason, he owes us an explanation. While he insists that the onus is on the people to make the case for electoral reform, he has to make the case to us why something that was so important 14 months ago is not even at the bottom of the liberal list of priorities now. No matter how you feel about electoral reform, it should be a question put to the PM at every town hall, every question period, and selfie opportunity till we get an answer. And once again, those were some of the voices on electoral reform. Do not look for this issue to go away anytime soon, but I'm afraid the Guelph Politicast does have to go away for this week. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. For all the latest political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.